Thanks, Jamie. Another great story. And last and certainly not least, would you put your hands together for Sean Lang?
I'm not nervous. And I'm wearing normal shoes. I'd like to thank, firstly, Ewan and Richard Oliver for helping me prepare this testimony in the past week and this morning, during the last minute. My childhood wasn't spent in a Christian home, and I don't recall going to Sunday service with my parents or my immediate family.
Oh, that's it. Sorry.
Neither my parents expressed any particular religious or spiritual beliefs, and I don't remember seeing a Bible in our house or recall the slightest mention of Christianity whilst growing up. However, presents were exchanged at Christmas, as were Easter eggs during Easter. And like many people I knew, we only attended church for weddings and christenings. Christianity and the church existed only when it served a purpose. And even though I had been brought up in this environment, I believe God was there. My parents divorced when I was 8 years old, and I spent much of my teenage years either living with my mother or my father and their respective partners. And I felt that the trust I had in both my parents had slowly drained away. Now, I know relationships between parents and teenagers can be quite strained. Mine was no different. Life with my stepfather became a battle of wills, and at the same time, didn't have any real bond with my father. As well as problems within the home, I found myself getting into trouble with the police. You could say I rebelled in order to bring my parents' attention back to me. And without a sense of belonging in either household, I decided to leave home at the first opportunity, at 17, to go and find work. I never saw my father again for 18 years. And even throughout this time, I still felt God was there. And as a result of my parents' divorce and events which occurred whilst living with both sets of parents, I've had difficulty placing my trust in people, particularly those with authority. In September 2004, Abby, my wife, and I went on an offer course at St. John's in Bedford. And I thought about becoming a Christian during this time. And during the final session, the final prayer session that we had, I decided to commit my life to Jesus. And I felt that if I hadn't done it then, I would never have done it at all. It would have been something that I would have just done later in life. Just got round to later. So I decided to make the commitment then. And to be perfectly honest, it felt a bit of an anti-climax. I was expecting to experience something more. And it felt like nothing had changed. And I was still searching for something. We both went to church regularly, but I still felt there was something missing. And not long after this, both of us experienced a number of personal tragedies which happened in quick succession, including our unborn child being diagnosed with spina bifida and hydrocephalus. I ended up feeling quite bitter and couldn't understand why these things were happening to us. And I often wondered where God was during this time. I had a preconceived notion that life would just get better once I'd become a Christian. And many Christians have explained to me since then that people's lives and beliefs are often challenged soon after deciding to commit to Christ. And there were times when I simply didn't want to go to church and made excuses to stay at home. I couldn't help feeling cheated and ended up questioning my faith and my trust in God had been broken. But despite all of these things, I still felt there was a need to grow spiritually. And Abby had been coming to the King's Arms here for a few months before I decided to come along with her. I have learned that for me at least, becoming a Christian doesn't happen overnight. Becoming a Christian for me is a process, albeit a challenging one, in which my reactions to situations are tested every day. Yep, there are times when I still feel angry about what has happened. Even though I find it difficult, I'm only just learning how to forgive. As the Lord's Prayer states, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. How can I be forgiven if I'm not prepared to forgive others? In essence, I am trying to be a Christian after 35 years of being somebody else. I will admit, I don't spend enough time with God than I'd like to. I feel closest to God during the worship here at King's Arms on Sunday mornings. There are times when I felt God communicate with me, particularly during the services here. Subtle messages which have prompted me to think and act differently. I'm being baptized today to show that I believe and accept God's message and his love. Becoming a Christian for me has been a process of change, a process of placing my trust in God and having the faith to understand that he has a plan for me. There's a passage in the Bible from Jeremiah chapter 29, and it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you and will bring you back from captivity." Becoming a Christian has also involved getting to know God's love. 1 Corinthians 13 reads, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, and always perseveres." And this passage has offered me the reassurance that love is greater than any other human feeling or emotion, greater than pride, anger, impatience, envy, rejection. And if no other feeling or emotion is greater than love, what can conquer it?
Thanks, Sean. That's been nice. Good work. We'll give you a book, Sean. We'll give you a book. Good afternoon. Thank you.